Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As President of the United States, I am mindful of the dangers that we face. They cross my desk every morning. I lead the strongest military that the world has ever known.
Do you? Do you now? The military you have deballed, the military you have debased, the military you have defunded, the military you have purged? No, my friends, we are seeing finally many different statements come to mind today. Russian roulette comes to mind. Russia bombed Syria, as you well know by now. It's the story of the morning on every channel. And all we hear about is, oh, they're not really going after ISIS. No, they're going after the good rebels. Well, who are the good rebels? Tell me who the good rebels are. Does anyone know who the good rebels are? They're the mercenary army that Obama built up to topple Assad. The fact of the matter is Russia is acting in its own self-interest, and they will continue to act in their own self-interest, unlike this president, who acts God only knows in whose interests. They're certainly not in the interests of the United States of America. The Syrian war with airstrikes by Russia has jolted the entire Middle East into a brand new situation, a new era. And there are many sounds that you have to hear today on the Savage Nation. We just got through listening to perhaps one of the most bizarre sound bites or speeches of my life, and that's this character, Ash Carter, who was the defense secretary. This is a nightmare to watch this man hesitating, hemming and hawing, another pink tie running the military. This guy was put in strictly to advance the gay and lesbian agenda. This guy knows nothing about defense. This guy looks like he belongs where he came from, which is Harvard University. And moreover, our so-called defense secretary, Ash Carter, is a former advisor to many defense contractors, in case you didn't know that. But he's not the problem. The problem is the thin man in the White House. The problem is Barry Obama from Honolulu, who is so over his head that even his most devout supporters recognize the world is going up in flames. In fact, occurring the other day at the United Nations was something even more remarkable. As you know, Cameron and Obama are on the same page with regard to almost everything. And yet Cameron of England and Obama, who were debating Islamic extremism at the UN, had a little disagreement because Obama would not say one word about radical Islam. And even Cameron could not believe what he was listening to. Listen to the interchange between Obama and Cameron of England in clip two.
Violent extremism is not unique to any one faith.
Violent extremism.
No one should be profiled or targeted simply because of their faith. Yet we have to recognize that ISIL is targeting Muslim communities around the world.
Barack, you said, and you're quite right, that every religion has its extremists. But we have to be frank that the biggest problem we have today is the Islamist extremist violence that has given birth to ISIL, to Al-Shabaab, to Al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda, and so many other groups.
So even milquetoast Cameron, had to step out from behind his tasseled loafers and say, I can't even swallow this one. Again, he won't say Muslim, Islam, and extremism in the same breath. So we are in a new world right now. Putin has pulled the trigger. Russia began their airstrikes using Su-34 fullback bombers. Everyone's fear is that there will be a clash between United States fighter jets and Russian fighter jets over Syria. That would be the worst possible outcome. Russia demanded this morning that the United States stop their airstrikes, which is a joke unto itself. Excuse me, what airstrikes? Now we hear Kerry and the others trumpeting the airstrikes of the last year against ISIS while they've metastasized and taken over a territory larger than Great Britain. What airstrikes? Which aspirin factories was Obama blowing up with our jets? wasting the precious resources of our fighter pilots on a charade, a paper war against ISIS. We know that he's not fighting ISIS, which is why ISIS has grown. Many of us believe that he has actually funded ISIS, supplied weapons to ISIS, and that ISIS is Obama's army set up specifically to take down Assad. When I started saying this 9 months ago, many of you thought I was crazy. But little by little, the truth of that has come to the light, has it not? So the U.S. has said to Russia, no, we're not going to stop our airstrikes. We're going to continue them. But where are they? What airstrikes? What exactly is Obama doing in the Middle East? He's bumbling, and we're praying to God that finally the American people wake up to what this man has done and is doing to this nation. There are so many other related elements to this story, and I'll bring them to light all day long, including no doubt speeches by leaders as they come forward with their double talk. Kerry gave another one of his lying speeches today. Ash Carter gave an embarrassing appearance today. And it's all about what? What's it really about? It's about bringing down Assad. Now, let's face it. Assad is a dictator. He's a very, very dangerous man. But he's not going anywhere because he is a puppet of Russia. And a useful puppet of Russia. Telling Russia to abandon Assad would be the equivalent of telling the United States to get rid of Netanyahu. Now, I'm not putting Assad and Netanyahu in the same class of humanity. Don't get me wrong. But make no mistake about it. You're going to tell Russia to abandon Assad? Why should he do it? And who is Assad? I don't think you people even know who Bashar Assad is. He is not a Sunni Muslim, by the way. He is a Shia, really, an Alawite, which is a branch of Shia Islam. He has never really been a follower of Islam. He's a scientist, a doctor. He was not educated in a madrasa, as was Obama. Did you know that Obama is probably more of a Muslim than Bashar Assad? That's an alarming statement, isn't it? Assad never went to a madrasa. Obama went to a madrasa in Indonesia. Assad was educated at the Arab-French Al-Hariya School in Damascus, where he became fluent in English and French. He went on to study medicine at the University of Damascus, graduating in 1988. He conducted his residency in ophthalmology at a military hospital outside of Damascus. He then traveled to Weston Eye Hospital in London, England. His father had been grooming his brother Basel as the future president. But in 1994, Basel was killed in an auto accident, and Bashar was recalled to Damascus to begin being groomed for the throne. And you should know this. Al-Assad was more moderate than his father, Hafez, who was also a moderate monarch. By the way, history shows us that Syria is one of the more tolerant of the Levant states, along with Jordan. Did you know that? Yeah, oh, he's a dictator, all right. And he certainly knows how to take care of the Islamists in his country, all right. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. It was the Arab Spring, initiated by Hillary Clinton, funded by George Soros, that brought about the nightmare of what's going on in Syria. And so where does it leave us? How did the relations with Syria get so bad? The fact of the matter is, there was a time that Syria was not on our hit list. No, not at all. What happened to change that? In 2009, U.S. relations with Syria turned negative. What happened in 2009? Barry from Honolulu became president. Barry from Honolulu refused to help Syria expel former Iraqi al-Qaeda fighters. Barry from Honolulu claimed that al-Qaeda was composed of innocent civilians. So before we go on and paint Assad as the evil devil, let's look at the evil that surrounded the turning of the shrew here. And let's compare our current administration and Assad. This is a new day, and I'm going to ask you, the listeners of the Savage Nation, do you support or oppose today's airstrikes? Everyone listening to this show, no matter what your walk of life may be, no matter what your education level may be, everyone has an opinion on this. If you've been watching the news all day, you're going to call me and give me the obvious, and please don't, telling me, well, he's not really attacking ISIS. He's attacking moderate Syrian rebels. I don't know what moderate Syrian rebels are, do you? And secondly, what is it our business in Syria? What the heck is our business in Syria? Why are we involved in a civil war in Syria? Why are we sticking our nose into a civil war in Syria? Why is that our business? If you wanted to argue about foreign intervention, you could argue that a Syrian civil war is of grave consequence to Russia, not to the United States. If you take a look at a map and look at it carefully, you'll see that Syria is somewhat connected to Russia, is it not? How in the world is Syria connected to the United States? Syria doesn't pose any threat to the United States. So there's another player here, and I've hinted at it before, and I'm a great supporter of Israel. I continue to be a great supporter of Israel. But that doesn't mean Israel uber alles. And it doesn't mean Israel is always right. And it doesn't mean Israel right or wrong. It's Israel that's been wagging the dog on this entire fiasco in Syria. It's been Israel that's been whispering in the ears of our Defense Department and in the ears of our contractors, telling us exactly what to do to bring down Assad, who they fear gravely. Now, maybe they should fear him. I don't know. My personal feeling is, at the end of the day, now that Russia is so deeply enmeshed in the Syrian civil war, they will constrain Hezbollah. And Israel actually has less to fear now that Russia is involved, rather than more to fear. And that's my personal opinion. I think Russia will be a stabilizing force in the Middle East rather than an unstabilizing force. The greatest destabilizing force in the Middle East has been Barry from Honolulu. Barry from Honolulu, who came to office with zero foreign policy experience, has learned nothing on the job. All he learned how to do is bamboozle the American people and threaten the useless pink-tied Republicans. He has been a disaster across the globe. But you, the listener of the Savage Nation, what do you think? We know what's going on. Russian roulette is what's going on. You've got Russian warplanes fighting. The same day that this happened, a major city fell in Afghanistan to Al-Qaeda. This is days after Obama gave another lying speech that Al-Qaeda was on the run in Afghanistan. This is after the military begged Barry from Honolulu to leave a restraining force in Afghanistan, and he did the same thing he did in Iraq. He pulled our troops down to a level where they could no longer protect the nation. It's Barry from Honolulu. He's destroying the entire world. When will you wake up to the fact that we have a monster in the White House who has destroyed the Middle East, wrecked our borders, language, and culture, and he's only just gotten started? And yet he had the nerve a few weeks ago to say the gravest threat to the world is global warming. Not ISIS, which has conquered a territory larger than Great Britain under his watch, if you want to call it his watch. Larger than Great Britain. They have raped and pillaged their way across the Middle East. And finally, Putin said, that's enough. You're not getting Syria. You're not taking out Assad. You're not taking away our warm water ports. Period. End of story. And he, frankly, is doing the job that Obama said he was doing, but again, Barry was lying and he was not doing it. If he's been conducting these airstrikes for a year, as these empty suits have been saying all day, then why is ISIS growing rather than shriveling? You're telling me our Air Force is that bad? We have the greatest Air Force in the world, at least we did, until Barry took over. God only knows who's running the Air Force now. I don't know which, let's put it this way, which creature he found in which university to destroy the Air Force, along with the Navy and the Marines. But the fact of the matter is, anyone can see that if we have been bombing Syria for a year now to take out ISIS, we have failed. So who failed? Is it the brave young kids who fly these jets? No, it's not them. They could have taken ISIS out in a week. Many of them have even said so after they quit the Air Force and couldn't believe what they were being forced to do. No, it's not the young men flying our jets who failed us in taking out ISIS. It's the commander in grief, the greatest thief of our sovereignty in the history of this republic. And I'm not saying that just to be glib. When I come back, I'll take your calls on this subject. And the topic is quite simple. It's one question. Do you support or oppose Russia's airstrikes in Syria? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
As President of the United States, I am mindful of the dangers that we face. They cross my desk every morning. I lead the strongest military that the world has ever known.
Well, he's almost right. He means he misleads. Misleads. There's one little piece missing. I mislead the strongest military the world has ever known. He has purged the military. Joseph Stalin executed his generals in the 1940s out of fear they were plotting a coup against him, which they were not. And as a result, the Soviet military was unable to operate effectively. Similarly, other dictators have purged the military in paranoid fits. Today, we are witnessing a similar purge, carried out not with bullets, but with smears, innuendo, and spurious legal charges. But it is a purge of senior military officers nevertheless. This chapter, Zero Military, in my prescient book, Government Zero, is a must-read. And I'm not going to read it to you today. I'm going to hold my fire until publication day on October 27th. But I actually named the generals that Barry has purged in order to foster the progressive Islamist takeover of the United States of America and the world. They have names. The administration has continued right off from where my last book left off. He has eliminated one seasoned combat leader after another with smears and innuendos. He has demilitarized our military. It's all part of the progressive Islamic takeover of America, attacking at the core. Another wrinkle in the ongoing purge and reconstruction of the military. The Obama administration continues its quest to transform the military from an institution of patriotic warriors, largely inspired by Christian principles, into an atheist, multicultural, progressive bureaucracy. All in Government Zero. My heart is beating with sadness to see what's happened to this country and this military under this radical extremist in the White House. But today the bear he thought he put to sleep suddenly clawed its way back onto the world stage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Reflect a genuine commitment to defeat that organization, then we are prepared to welcome those efforts and to find a way to deconflict our operations.
The new word
and thereby
of the day,
multiply the military pressure.
The girls came up with a new word. The word du jour is deconflict, a word no one ever heard of before. One of these idiot bureaucrats from one of the colleges, one of America's stupidest universities, came up with a new word, deconflict. Go ahead, keep talking, John. Keep rattling off. Keep rattling off.
Recent actions.
Keep it running. You don't have to.
And those now ongoing
where you stop it.
Reflect a genuine commitment to defeat that organization. Then we are prepared to welcome those efforts and to find a way to deconflict our operations and thereby multiply the military pressure on ISIL and affiliated groups.
You're a liar.
But we must not.
Okay, you get the drift. John Kerry is an empty suit and a liar from the get-go. Going back to the Vietnam War, he's been a liar and an empty suit. That's how he got where he is. As you well know, the worst rise to the highest levels in our government. The worst people rise to the highest positions of power, and they get there by lying their way to the top, not by doing anything noble. So I ask you, the American people, what do you think? You got Su-34 fullback bombers, and they're bombing. And I'll have to take the words of those people who are on the ground, not me, I'm not there, that they're not actually bombing ISIS targets today. They're not yet bombing Islamic State targets. So who are they bombing? Well, they're bombing the opposing forces to their national interests. First, they're clearing the way. Before they go after ISIS, they're taking out the so-called Free Syrian Forces. Obama's fantasy. You know, the good ones. The young people. Those in the dungarees with iPhones in their back pockets that we saw in Egypt, who really were the advance guard for the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, the young. Whenever they're young, they're good. You know, young people in dungarees are all good because they wear tight pants. So we're going to take out this Free Syrian Army, or Russia is rather, take them out first. You see, it's called a military strategy, something that Barbara Starr and the other girls, who are way past their prime, could not figure out. You don't go after your primary target immediately. What you do is you do it in a strategic manner, step by step, stage by stage. So first they're taking out, the Russians are taking out the Free Syrian Army to get them out of the way because they oppose Russia. The Free Syrian Army is a threat to Russian troops on the ground, which will be there as sure as I'm standing here. And they want to make sure they're gone first before they go in and start killing the ISIS maniacs. So you say, well, they're not bombing ISIS. No, of course they're not bombing ISIS now. All tittering. Oh, they're not bombing ISIS. They're bombing for the good guys. Well, not to them. They're not the good guys. Their ultimate target is to take out ISIS. First, they got to take out the Free Syrian Army. The al-Nusra Front, which we used to call a terrorist group, by the way, until Barry changed the definition again with Marie Harf sitting over a late-night coffee or something. You know what we have for you, though, is something from 1984, Ronald Reagan, where he ran, this is an ad for Ronald Reagan in 1984, don't play it yet, where Russia was seen as the greatest enemy to Western civilization. And the whole object of the Reagan administration was to bring down the Soviet Union, and they succeeded in doing that. What's amazing to me, though, is that many of his acolytes, many of the people who were stuck in bureaucracies working for Reagan, are still continuing the rhetoric of the 1980s, still continuing as Reagan Cold Warriors, even though the whole world has changed. No, Russia is not the greatest threat to world stability right now. It's the radical Islamists. They are the greatest threat to the world right now. And our greatest ally in stopping the Islamists is none other than Russia. And yet these people, these Reaganites, are so embedded in the media and in government that they continue to mouth the same rhetoric from the 1980s. Russia, 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 no good. Russia, no good. They're still mouthing what they were taught in the 1980s when the world has moved on and they're stuck in the past. They're like animals who fell into an amber pit. No, the greatest threat to world stability is not Russia. It's radical Islam. And that's what this bombing in Syria is all about. Yes, they're propping up a dictator named Assad. Oh, they are. But he's the best bulwark they have against the Islamists who would take over if they managed to knock Assad out. You're telling me that what we did in Libya made sense to kill Gaddafi? Oh, he was another mad dictator, wasn't he? Hillary Clinton cackled when she killed him. Don't you remember that? Oh, those distant days, Benghazi, it's actually in Libya. Yeah, that's been forgotten already. That's been forgotten like bringing down Obamacare. But it was Hillary Clinton who cackled after they killed Gaddafi. We came, we saw, and he died. And the girls laughed, the sorority laughed, because George Soros had his way. The devil himself was the funding behind all of that. On the premise now, that if you overthrow a dictator, all the young people with tight dungarees and iPhones in their back pockets, all of the people who go to the discotheques will rise up and create a new world in Libya. No, it didn't happen that way. Who took over? Worse elements than Gaddafi. Libya has fallen into chaos. The weapons were smuggled to ISIS directly from Libya into Syria. A direct run. And it wasn't even an underground railroad that brought the weapons from Gaddafi's weapons hordes. It wasn't even an underground railroad. It was an open railroad run by the CIA right into Syria to supply weapons to the so-called Free Syrian forces and to, you guessed it, ISIS itself, who are using M16s manufactured in the United States of America. And so, naturally, Putin is threatened by them. He does not want an Islamic presence in Syria. Let's be very clear. He'd rather have a Stalinist present in Syria in the form of Assad. He'd rather have a useful puppet, ally, whatever you want to call him, someone who's not a Muslim extremist, who is Assad, rather than a madman wearing some holy robe, quoting the Quran as he rapes and kills his way across the Middle East. So in the long run, this Russian incursion into Syria, I believe, will be a stabilizing force, a stabilizing act at the end of the day, and something that is better for the world rather than is worse, as the New York Times and the others are opposing it. They have bent over backwards to make this thin man in the White House look like he knows what he's doing when he doesn't. His entire, quote, strategy has blown up in his face today. The phone number here is 855-407-2828, but you cannot get on the show because the lines are so hot right now with America wanting to speak not only to Michael Savage but to other Americans on this single question, which is, do you support or oppose today's airstrikes by Russia? And before we take your calls, let's go to the 1984 Reagan ad on the bear. Listen to it.
There is a bear in the woods. For some people, the bear is easy to see. Others don't see it at all. Some people say the bear is tame. Others say it's vicious and dangerous. Since no one can really be sure who's right, isn't it smart to be as strong as the bear? If there is a bear.
That was the height of the Cold War, where Russia was seen as the worst enemy on the planet. And at the time, Russia was a distinct threat to world stability. People were living horrendous lives in the Soviet Union, and many of them have fled to many Western nations, including the United States, and many of them are listeners to this show. And they came for a better life, and what they see emerging in this country is exactly what went on in the Soviet Union under Stalin, and then under the others who followed Stalin. They see it, they hear it, they smell it, they taste it, and they know it, and they know that it's Barry from Honolulu who is the greatest threat to world stability today, not Vladimir Putin. So do you oppose or do you support today's airstrikes? WBAP, Mike, go ahead. You're up. You're the first one. What's your position?
Although I'm happy for anyone to destroy ISIS and send them back to Hades where they came from, in the American national interests, I have to be very, concerned about Russia and China getting a big fat toehold in the Middle East. This can't be good long term. This is surely going to cause a conflict. You know, that word deconflict, whatever, that's a riot.
But isn't that riotous? They came up with a new word today? How did they invent that word, deconflict, in one day? Who made that up for them?
And all they do is cause conflict. Everything they do causes a conflict, and he wants to come up and act like he wants to deconflict something?
Yeah, well, he's actually the antagonist over there. Now, who was the antagonist, Putin or Obama?
Wow, that's hard to say. Putin is just doing what he can get away with, and I believe something is going on in the world. America is involved that wants to get rid of secular-type leaders in the Middle East. I think any ultra-religionist, they're kind of wanting those people in power. They don't care Sunni, Shia, whatever. But
why does Barry Obama want radical Muslims running countries rather than secularists? Why does he have such a soft spot for radical Islam, which he does? He won't even use the words together. You hit the nail on the head. He'd rather have a radical Islamist running Syria than a Stalinist. Why?
They want the secularists out of there because I guess they can't be manipulated religiously or something. But look.
Well, you see, you don't want to go where your mind is taking you. You don't want to actually say what you know to be true in your heart of hearts. And I'll put another fact on the table before I make my position clear. Do you know that there are Christian refugees from Syria who are about to be kicked out of the United States? Christians who fled ISIS are sitting here in the United States on U.S. soil, and Barry Obama has denied them asylum while bringing in hundreds of thousands of Muslims from Syria. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know? Well, I mean, you're stunned. Iraqi Christians have been denied asylum in the United States. They're facing expulsion. They're sitting here in this country. They're known as Chaldeans. Some of the most ancient of all Christian groups. They've been held at the Otay Detention Center in San Diego since entering the United States in April and May. And do you know what your government is doing to them? Throwing them out of the country. And what is your government doing concurrent with throwing Christians from Iraq out? when they're the most persecuted minority in the Middle East? Why are they not being given asylum? And why are Muslims from Syria being given asylum? Because Barry from Honolulu is a sympathizer of radical Islam, which is why he won't even put the two words together. And I have a firm belief that the country's been taken over from within. I believe it in my core. Everything I see confirms it. The king has no clothes. I will not justify or apologize for him anymore. I haven't for months now. It's as naked as the show Homeland is. He's working for the other side. Now you say, well, is he really working for the other side? It doesn't matter. If he is not opposing the other side, then he's working for the other side. Because the greatest threat in my mind to world stability is not Russia. It's the people who cut the heads off human beings while they're alive. It's the people who put people in cages, douse them in gasoline, set them on fire while they're alive. It's the radical Muslims who kidnap, capture young girls, Christian, Azidis, and others, rape them around the clock, and then sell them on slave auctions. All a fact of life, something you didn't hear in the UN from the great Pope. Pope didn't mention once, not once did this Pope, to his eternal shame, did this Pope, who had the opportunity to alert the world to what's going on to Christians in the Middle East, he said nothing. All he did was advance his socialist agenda. I have to tell you, it's a very sad time in human history that we're watching a Holocaust go on right in front of our eyes. Oh, it's on a minor scale, I realize, but if you're a 12-year-old girl who's being raped around the clock, I don't think that's on a minor scale, do you? No, I think it's on a major scale. What a country this used to be before this leftist takeover of every single one of our institutions. And you want me to sit here and pay attention to the 2016 election a year before any of them could possibly be sworn in? While all this is going on, we're supposed to look at Trump, Carson, Fiorina, Rubio, Bush, Cruz, and Kasich and care about it? I don't care about it. Not a year. They have no power. Zero influence. No effect whatsoever. All that matters is now. And right now, Russia is on the move. And Russia should be our greatest ally, not our greatest enemy. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know, the old Arab adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, should be prevailing in your mind today. Who is your greatest enemy in the world? ISIS. ISIS is your greatest enemy. If they could, they would kill 200 million Christians and Jews on the planet. Ask people who know really what's going on. And right now, Iraq has a Christian population, which is one of the most ancient in the world, that's teetering on extinction because of genocide, because of Obama's do-nothing policies. The Christian population has dwindled from around 1.5 million in 03 to well below 200,000 now. Christians in the region have been brutally persecuted and crucified in their own churches, which are being used as torture chambers, in which Christians are given the option of converting to Islam or being slaughtered. That's because of Obama in the White House, the do-nothing president. The only one he's tough with are the Republican, is the Republican Party and the American conservative movement. So the fact of the matter is, we have a nightmare on our hands here. The enemy of our enemy is our friend. Who is our greatest enemy? ISIS. Who is the enemy of ISIS? Russia. Therefore, they're our friend. It's as simple as that. Study history. Let them take out ISIS. First, they have to take out the quote, Free Syrian Army. It's a strategic move. They do it first. They don't go after the primary target at New York Times. Oh, they're bombing the good Free Syrian Army. All the boys and girls with tight dungarees and iPhones. Here we go again. The same crap we heard about Egypt. They were the avant-garde, those boys and girls in tight jeans, for the wolves who were waiting in the wings. The wolves of the Muslim Brotherhood in that case, and the wolves of ISIS in this case. That's who would take over Syria if you followed Barack Obama's subterfuge. But those of us who can play triple chess on an electronic board see what's going on. This is the Savage Nation playing quadruple chess on a triple board right here on your local station.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As President of the United States, I am mindful of the dangers that we face. They cross my desk every morning. I lead the strongest military that the world has ever known.
You mean you mislead the strongest military the world has ever known? Or shall I say, had ever known. Welcome to hour number two of the Savage Nation. We're witnessing an unprecedented situation where a foreign power starts airstrikes without notifying America and then tells our military to get out of the way. And our military puts a physics professor and a contractor in charge of the Defense Department, that's Ash Carter, brilliant man in physics, Harvard University, wonderful scholar in his field, worked as an advisor to military contractors for years. And in case you don't know who Ash Carter is, the head of the Defense Department, he used to work for old Jimmy Carter, right? Longtime wobbly, lifetime left-wing fanatic, game player, bumbler. I heard him speak today. I was screaming. I said, if I were listening to this and I were a Russian leader, I would be laughing at America. It's bad enough having these girls talk. Babble. Girl talk. Babble. Now we have this guy, the head of the military, comes out in a pink tie. On the day that he's supposed to stand up for the American military might, he comes out in another pink tie and goes on and on saying, well, we don't personally see it in the same way they do. And I would hope that Russia would see it in our way and come to the... I never heard anything like this. No one speaks that way. These are bureaucrats, academic bureaucrats. Deeply ingrained in the entire structure of the country, especially the military, which has been purged by Barry. And as I said earlier, the purge has been going on for quite a while. Joseph Stalin, I told you, executed his generals in the 1940s out of fear that they were plotting a coup against them. But they were not. And as a result of those purges, the Soviet military became unable to operate effectively. And other dictators have purged the military in paranoid fits. And today we're seeing the same thing going on with our military. A similar purge carried out not with bullets, but with smears, innuendos, and spurious legal charges. But it is nevertheless a purge of senior military officers. And I actually named the names of this progressive Islamist takeover of the United States from within in the chapter Zero Military in Government Zero. I don't want to read you the chapter, but I have to quote certain sections of it. Why is Obama doing this? Why is this purge going on in reconstructing the military? Because Barry from Honolulu wants to transform the military from an institution of patriotic warriors, largely inspired by Christian principles, into an atheist, multicultural, progressive bureaucracy. And not only do they purge competent, battle-hardened officers and replace them with progressive academics, such as Ash Carter, they also purge chaplains committed to their faith and replace them with pseudo-chaplains who are willing to accept the progressive worldview regardless of their faith. They are expected to be enthusiastic about Islam, even though it's the ideology inspiring the maniacs that our military is supposed to be fighting. Why is this happening? Page 81. It's all part of the progressive Islamic takeover of America. In the private sector, they relentlessly attack small businesses run by Christians. In the military, they attack patriotic warriors and Christian chaplains. In both cases, anyone who resists their agenda is being destroyed. Purge of the military. Many examples. Great irony, isn't it? And so, my friends, we turn now to what's going on in the Middle East specifically. Russia strikes, airstrikes against Free Syrian forces, not ISIS today. New York Times puts out the big smear that Russia has no intention of taking out ISIS, which is ludicrous. This is just a prelude to taking out ISIS, as I've said to you. And I'm no military expert, but I certainly have studied military issues long enough to see how the game is played. You don't go after your primary enemy when there's another force on the ground that may stand in your way or harm your own soldiers, unless you're a doofus. What you do is you take out the forces on the ground that may not be friendly to your forces and get rid of them, sweep them away, and then go after your primary target. Because right now the Free Syrian Army can do grave damage to Russian ground troops who will be on the ground if they're not already there. And they want to have a clear field. They want to go right after ISIS and kill them. They will not bring them back to Moscow for a trial. They will not bring them back and let them spew their Islamic hatred for the West. They're just going to kill them on the field. And so I ask you today again, if you agree with me that the enemy of our enemy is our friend. Who is our greatest enemy in the world? Is it Russia? Russia wasn't our greatest enemy until Obama messed things up and made it a personal vendetta. Russia was our ally. The Cold War was over. Things were doing well. We had great trade and interaction with the Russian people and the Russian leadership. And then this maniac, this bungler came along, surrounded by his dumb sorority. And now we have a Cold War turning into a hot war. No, it's not Russia who composes our greatest enemy. It's radical Islam, the Islamist, ISIS. They're the greatest enemy of civilization since Adolf Hitler. And so if Russia's willing to do the job, what's wrong with that? Tell me why you would oppose that. Now, of course, you're going to tell me what you read in the New York Times today and then heard ad nauseum all over the media from Barbara Starr and the other bovine members of the female persuasion all day long. Well, they're not taking out ISIS. They're taking out the Free Syrian Army. Well, look at the long-term strategy, Barbara, because once they sweep the Free Syrian Army away, they'll go after ISIS. That's my guess. Of course, we don't know what might happen tomorrow. My gravest fear is that there'll be an accidental dogfight between Russia and the United States, which would be a nightmare. It would be a nightmare for all of us if that happened. God forbid that that happens. Where do you stand on this? Do you support or oppose today's airstrikes by Russia? I support them wholeheartedly. The enemy of our enemy is our friend. It's that simple. But many of you don't see it that way. Russ on WMAL, you don't see it that way. Tell the audience why.
Because it's not about ISIS. It's not about Syria. It's all about Mr. Putin. He losing the war in Ukraine, who he started. He annexed Crimea illegally. And now this is his typical passive-aggressive move. Before the meeting in UN, he made a move in Syria so to show the power that the rest of the world should
all of that may be true, but don't you see in your own vision that Obama is the same type of personality who's also doing it for his own self-aggrandizement? Do you actually think Obama's a savior of the Ukrainian people?
He's not. He could have done a lot more. Unlike in Syria, Ukrainians are willing to fight for their independence. All they need is weapons. With their bare hands, they stop Russian troops. But I don't
understand. I understand. No, I understand that you hate Russia because you're Ukrainian and you probably have every reason to hate the Russian military. I get it. But looking at Syria, don't you think radical Islam is a problem?
It's a huge problem. Absolutely. I agree with you there. But Russia is on the same level of the threat to the rest of the world as radical Islam.
Well, now that's a leap in faith. Where do you see Russia blowing up churches, torturing Christians, and having armies rape young girls? You know that's not happening. And you know that the radical Muslims are doing that all over the Middle East. It's a well-established fact.
It is a well-established fact, but what does Russia do? They sponsor the terrorism. They sponsor the terrorism, of course, in Ukraine, and they sponsor the Assad regime, and they sponsor other...
Look, I hear in your voice... the pain that you're suffering, because as a Ukrainian, you probably have every reason to resent and hate Russia. But this is not about Ukraine. This is about Syria, which is much different than Ukraine. Maybe generically it's the same thing to you, but specifically it's not the same species. This is a much different species than the genus that you're talking about. I'm glad you had a chance to express your heartfelt feelings about this issue. 855-407. Does anyone support the Russian Su-34 fullback bombers today. WABCJ, do you oppose or support the Russian bombs today?
I wholeheartedly support the Russian strikes because the Free Syrian Army and ISIS are one and the same, number one. Number two, both Vladimir Putin and Bashar al-Assad have had proven track records of protecting Christian communities. Bashar al-Assad has gone through extensive lengths to protect the ancient Christians in his country with whatever resource he had. And Vladimir Putin, over the past 20 years of his presidency, has rebuilt countless churches all over Russia. And I see this as more as Barack Obama and his cronies' attack on Christianity, attack on
I define Obama's motives as a progressive Islamist takeover of the West and the world, and I think that's what you're saying. On the other hand, you have Russia, who for all of its faults and all of its, let us say, self-interests, whether it be in Crimea, Ukraine, or now in Syria, is still the greatest defender of the Christian people in the Middle East right now. There are no other defenders of the Christians. Obama refuses to grant Christians from Iraq asylum here in America while he's flooding America with Muslims from Syria. There's no question in my mind you're 100% right. It's that simple. And again, I'm not going to glorify Assad, but I will tell you right now, Assad is far better for the survival of the Jews and the Christians in Syria than what might follow. And I don't understand the Jewish people any more than I understand, well, nuclear physics. I can never understand liberal Jews. They're always on the wrong side of things politically. They don't even understand the danger they're putting themselves in by attacking Putin in this case. Do you know that there's a sizable Syrian Jewish community in Syria right now that is protected by Assad that will be destroyed, decimated, subjected to genocide should Assad be allowed to fall, and yet not a word from the Jews? Not a word from the rabbi who intoned when the Pope was here. Not one word. Not one word from the liberal Jewish establishment about where do the Jews stand with regard to the Syrian Jewish community. Not a word. They haven't gotten their talking points yet from the White House. So here we stand. WJR, John, your opinion, please. Go ahead.
I support Russia's airstrikes in Syria because I want ISIS eliminated. But what makes me very nervous is China and Russia's partnership, because China is building a canal through Central America, which the media is really giving no coverage of, just like they're not giving any coverage of the aircraft carrier that they have in the Middle East. This canal could allow Chinese submarines to cross over from the Pacific to the Atlantic. So what makes me very nervous is their partnership with Russia.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. But remember, China, according to the reports that I read, has in fact, whether the aircraft carrier is there or not is a matter of dispute, but there are Chinese troops in the area in coordination now with Russian troops and Iranian troops to take out ISIS. And the Chinese specifically are there, specifically in Syria. They're going to hunt down and kill the Uyghurs, who are Muslims. They do not want these Uyghur Chinese returning to China and undermining the Chinese government. I don't think that's a bad thing, do you? You don't want the Muslims taking over any more of China than they already have, do you?
No, I want them stopped from here. That's why I'm...
Well, okay, so the enemy of our enemy is our friend. In this case, China and Russia are doing what Barry from Honolulu has not done. We keep hearing, all of a sudden we hear today, we've had an air campaign against ISIS for well over a year. What an embarrassing statement that is. A year and they can't wipe out ISIS? Instead, it's metastasized, taking over territory larger than that of Great Britain. So that means the U.S. Air Force has failed, doesn't it? If we've been conducting a campaign for a year. And it's not that the Air Force that failed. It's Barry Obama who has failed by undermining, by misleading the Air Force, by misleading the American people. That's my opinion. If there are no other callers who can elucidate further on this issue, we'll move on to another topic. But I see we have quite a few good, intelligent callers, and I've got to get them. By the way, this just came out. Shock of all shocks. White people reject claims of white privilege, study finds. You mean they're not catering and cowering before Black Lives Matter? I wonder why.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the first Russian airstrikes in Syria demark a new chapter in Middle Eastern history. It has deeply affected all the surrounding nations, especially Israel, because Russia's first combat air missions over Syria have stopped Israel's freedom to strike enemies from Syrian and Lebanese skies. Do you understand that it's changed the entire picture? Meyer, I don't think you agree with me on WABC. Go ahead, make your case. We have a minute to do so.
Mr. Savage, I believe that the state of Israel does not want the Assad regime to fall. And the state of Israel represents majority of world Jewry. There might be a slight few liberals who are in the White House and in Washington and all that, but in general, the Jewish communities support the Assad regime. As you did mention, the Assad regime is good to the Jewish community in Syria.
When did a Jewish leader come out recently and support the Assad regime when they know that Obama opposes it? They've all dummied up and shut their mouths. They have nothing to say about it all of a sudden.
No, that...
When has any Jewish group come out and said, wait a minute, he may be a bad guy, but the Jews are protected by him, the Christians are protected by him, and the Islamists will kill the Jews and Christians? When have you heard a Jew say that?
Mr. Netanyahu says that all the time.
Good. Okay, well, you answered the question. We just had a good discussion. You gave me the answer. But Israel's not too happy because Israel's defense minister, Moshe Alon, denied Tuesday night. He denied last night that Israel was coordinating its operations with the Russian army. You know, they said, no, we're not cooperating with them. My friends, the things are changing too fast for most of us to follow this. The Russian military buildup is far greater than imagined by anyone in the U.S. or in Israel or elsewhere. Russia outsmarted everybody. They are going to do what they want to do. They're going to take out the Free Syrian Army, and then they're going to take out ISIS. At the end of the day, the world will be a safer place, my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Putin's ambitions are blindingly obvious, my friends. He wants to prop up Assad, play kingmaker in any transition, undermine U.S. policy and operations, and ultimately expand Russian power in the Middle East to a degree, as I mentioned, unseen since 1973.
This week became a warmonger. This is the same lunatic who went to Egypt after the generals were overthrown and tried to prop up the generals. To prop up the Muslim Brotherhood, pardon me. This is the same lunatic McCain who started the war in the Ukraine by going there and steaming up the population against the corrupt leadership. Corrupt as he was elected, duly elected. McCain stirred them up to a revolution. This man is a maniac, a warmonger his entire life. So are you confused? Do you care? Let me give you a little more information before you draw your eyes shut and leave the show and say, I can't take any more. Right now, we're seeing Russia airstrikes over Syria. We don't know what they are. We hear that they're not really after ISIS. We hear that they're going after the Syrian rebel operations who are trying to knock out Assad, and they're going to defend Assad. Do you know the following? You haven't seen this on television, but I found it this morning. The Russian preparations for military action are not at all limited to Syria. And they're being run by a Joint Coordination Forward Command and War Room established a few days ago by Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and they're in Baghdad. The Operation Command Center combining the forces of Russia or coordinating the forces of Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria are being run out of a command center in Baghdad. That's their war room. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, there's a U.S. Central Command Forward Jordan war room north of Amman, which is coordinating the efforts of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Israel, Jordan, and the UAE in support of Syrian rebel operations against the Assad regime. So right now, Israel is very deeply involved with the United States, with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, with Jordan and the UAE, in supporting the Syrian rebels who want to take out Assad. So for those of you who are confused, Israel wants Assad to go. And I think it's a huge mistake on their part. Maybe they know something I don't know, and probably do. I'm just a man alone in a radio studio somewhere near San Francisco who studies world affairs without, let's say, the advantages of the intelligence that military and political leaders have, but also without the disadvantages that military and political leaders have. I don't have any of the disadvantages. I don't know what I'm supposed to think. I don't know who's feeding me information that may be false. So therefore, all I can do is use what God has given me, which is logic. My logical faculties are still quite really good, excellent as a matter of fact, and my analytical abilities, and my study of history. And I can tell you that this is a collision course. We're on a collision course right now, because all of Obama's shenanigans and charade about fighting ISIS has been exposed. If one thing has been exposed with the Russian bombing campaign today, what has it been? It's been that Obama's been lying through his teeth about fighting ISIS. He has not been fighting ISIS. Not at all. He's been fighting Assad with a mercenary army called the Free Syrian Army. We've given them weapons and training. They're using M16s. And basically, this mercenary army consists of the al-Nusra Front, which this government itself calls a terrorist organization, and ISIS. We're actually supporting ISIS. So when you look at it very carefully, it's kind of sickening to look at. When you want to actually look at this straight in the eye, you've got the United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Israel, Jordan, and the UAE supporting the Syrian rebel operations against the Assad regime, which means that they're also supporting ISIS. Why? Saudi Arabia is a Sunni nation. Jordan is a Sunni nation. Do you understand this is still an ancient tribal battle between the Sunnis and the Shia? And so what do we stand? Where do we stand in all this? What are we sticking our noses in there for? Why in the world is the United States on the side of the Sunnis in their battle against the Shiites? Well, Iran is predominantly a Shiite nation. So you could argue, well, this is a way of fighting Iran. Well, if we're fighting Iran, why did the United States of America, through John Kerry and Obama, just give them a green light to an attack, nuclear weapons? Why? It gets very complicated, by the way. And so you have to understand that this swiftly evolving Syrian situation has to be seen in the context of what is actually going on the part of the United States and Israel. I'm sorry to tell you again, it's wag the dog. I've said it for months. It wasn't easy for me to say it because Israel, I continue to support Israel for numerous reasons. But the fact of the matter is, I support America first. And America's security interests and national interests are not necessarily the same as Israel's security interests and national interests, by the way. Now, having said that, I hope Israel doesn't overplay its hand and get into aerial combat with Russia. They might win, by the way. But in the long term, they can't win that war. The Israeli fighter pilots are probably the best in the world next to ours, probably on par with ours. If I don't know who's better. Nobody really knows. I'm sure the Israeli pilots can knock the Russian planes out of the sky. Let's put it to you that way, if it came to that. But I really hope that the Israelis are not that foolish to think that winning a battle is going to help them win the war. Because in the long run, they're too small a nation to take on the bear. And they'd be much smarter to understand that the bear has national interests that may be in conflict with their interests in the short term. But in the long term, they may be safer once ISIS is decimated in the Middle East. I think Israel gravely miscalculated and caused great havoc in the Middle East, personally. The more I look at this, and I do analyze it in great detail in Government Zero. Great detail. Government Zero is the book. It's the sine qua non of all of my books. You can buy it online at Amazon right now. It'll be out in a few weeks when I'll tell you much more about it. And I hope you'll rush into the bookstores and clean out the shelves to send a resounding message to Barry Obama that the king has no clothes and we see right through his charade. But let's get back to facts at hand here. It's Israel again. Israel again. Israel again. U.S., Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Israel, Jordan, and the UAE in support of Syrian rebels to overthrow Assad. Now, why would Israel want to overthrow Assad? Because Assad of Syria sponsors Hezbollah. And if you remember, Israel and Hezbollah went head-to-head in Lebanon in the last war or whatever, how long ago it was, not that long ago. And Hezbollah didn't do too badly. That's the sad truth. And primarily because Hezbollah is not bound by rules of engagement. Hezbollah is not bound by the same rules of engagement that has infected the Israeli Defense Forces the same way it's infected our military. Hezbollah, ISIS, do not fight by any rules. They kill. They take no prisoners. They torture and they maim. That's the only way wars can be won. They're not going to be won with Mr. Rogers' rules of engagement. And so Israel thinks that by taking out Assad, they're going to take down Hezbollah. I don't know if that's 100% true. Not at all. I know this. This is one thing I do know. That when a world power like Russia gets involved in a situation like this and takes a strong position that we're going to support Assad, he's not going to go, he's our ally, we have strategic and territorial ambitions in Syria, and we're going to take them. It involves gas fields. It involves a lot of things. It's our sphere of interest. You're not going to tell us what to do in our sphere of interest. We don't care what you think. We don't care what the UN thinks. We don't care what Israel thinks. They swat them off like flies. The bear is lumbering across that area. And the bear says, this is our backyard. Get the hell out of our berry patch. Just get the hell out of our berry patch. You have no business to be here. That's what's going on a simplistic level. That's exactly what's going on, for right or for wrong. And when the bear gets through with Syria, not only will ISIS be killed, and you won't see any pictures of it, by the way. I can guarantee you the journalists won't be permitted to send you live footage of the atrocities against ISIS. The same wonderful journalists who are not showing you the rapes and the murders being conducted by ISIS just can't wait to get over there to show you the evil that Russia is doing. Already saw the airstrikes kill children. Next second, they're ready. Children were killed. Right away, the children, the sirens went off. All of the CNN reporters, children were killed, children were killed, children were killed. What about the Christian children who have been killed by ISIS? Didn't see any pictures of those, did you? Somehow Wolf Blitzer didn't let those images come out. So at the end of the day, when you have a world power like Russia engaging in the Syria situation, and they're saying we're going to make sure Assad stays, he is our ally, he's a Stalinist, he speaks our language, Russia's moved well beyond the early stages of communism. Do I have to tell you that? You actually think Russia is a communist nation? You actually still think that? Are you still stuck in the Reagan mentality that Russia's the gravest threat on the planet? Are you one of those fools who worked for Ronald Reagan who thinks that Russia's our greatest enemy, not the Islamic State? Well, if you are, I pity you, because things have changed. Russia has evolved. China has evolved. Yes, they are dictatorships, but they are not the dictatorships of the 1950s that you grew up on. They have changed and we have changed. This country has become a putative dictatorship under Barack Obama, the great liberal. That's correct. Aldous Huxley warned us in one of his great essays in the 1950s, which I read when I was very impressionable when I was a kid in the 50s. I used to read all of Huxley's work, visited his widow, Laura. I was so crazy about his writings. I read everything he ever wrote. And he warned us that in the future, Russia and the United States would become more and more like each other. He warned us that Russia would become more capitalistic and the United States would become more communistic. Boy, was he ever right. Boy, was he ever right. And if you think this nation is still the city on the hill, a nation filled with freedom, I don't agree with you, not at all, not under Barry Obama. He has put a yoke around all of our hearts. He has put a yoke around all of our hopes. He has magnified the fears of most thinking Americans, and he's gotten away with it because the weasels in the media continue to trumpet his lies. And so it comes back to the same question. Do you support or oppose Russia's airstrikes today? And I've gone on for quite a long time on why I support the airstrikes. And it comes down to a simple statement. And that is, the enemy of our enemy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. My greatest enemy is not Russia. My greatest enemy are the Islamic murderers. And if Russia wants to kill the Islamic murderers, then Russia is my friend. It's really that basic. It's really that basic. I remember even as a little kid when we were playing war in the streets of the Bronx on Longfellow Avenue. We charge up a hill against Bryant Avenue. I grew up in a little street called Longfellow Avenue. It was named for all of the English poets, don't you know, in the South Bronx. And when I was 5, 6 years old, we'd all gang together. We'd get sticks and garbage can covers. And we'd play war. And we'd try to charge up the hill to knock the kids off the hill above us. It was a sandlot that went up a slippery slope of a hill. And we'd charge up with the garbage can covers in front of our faces to try to stave off the rocks and the ash that they were throwing down upon us. It was like Roman pictures. You can't believe these ashes were the size of our fists. It was the ash that was left in the incinerators in the tenement buildings. They'd cook the garbage down, burn it to get down, and the kids would pick up the ash like little volcanic ash. And believe me, it hit you in the head. It can split your head open. I came back many times with a bleeding head, and my Russian aunt had to tend to the wounds, and she did so without any hysteria, and sent me back out to go. She said, "Go play now. Go back out there and play, and take your garbage can cover too. Please get out. Don't let the door hit you in the you know where." I couldn't go see my mother when I was bleeding from the head from an ash in my head because she would go hysterical. She would get those. She'd start screaming. I was afraid to go in my own house if she saw blood. So I left my poor mother alone. But the point was is that a lot of the kids we fought with from neighboring blocks, we didn't even like. But as long as they were willing to come over and help the Longfellow kids take down the Bryant kids, they were our friends. Kids who a few weeks before we fought with were suddenly our allies against the Bryant Avenue kids. The enemy of our enemy is our friend. Do you get it? It goes back to a sandlot. There's nothing different on the world stage. Now you're going to hear people pontificating Russia should be stopped, but they don't say how. You're going to hear people screaming all day long, "Oh, Russia's evil, Putin's no good. He should be stopped all day long. Putin's no good, he wants to expand his power." No kidding. Do you know a world leader who wants to shrink his power other than Barack Obama? What world leader doesn't want to expand his power other than Barack Obama? Netanyahu certainly wants to expand his power and to protect his people. So Putin's doing the same thing. What, he's evil because he's doing what everyone else on the earth is doing if they have a brain and they care about their country? Of course he wants to expand his power. And since there's a vacuum in the Middle East created by Barry, who's been busy screwing the American people and the Republican Party, suddenly the vacuum is being filled by the bear. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's that simple. Don't try to overcomplicate it, because you'll make a mistake if you do. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Well, I'll let you figure that one out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. All right, everyone who gets on the air with Michael Savage and millions of followers from here on in will get a free copy of Government Zero. I just got my first copies last night. It's not only an important book, it's the most beautiful cover I've ever seen. I look great. I got to tell you, the older I get, the better I look. I don't know the answer to it. It must be the vitamins, a lot of worrying, stress. Anyone who says that stress is bad for you doesn't understand the human condition. If stress killed you, I would have been dead at 4. That's all I would have been dead at 4 or 5 if stress killed you. I've been a kind of very tense person since I'm a little kid. I worry all the time. I worry about personal things, family things, societal things, international things. I worry about everything. I think worrying is good for you. Worrying can be very good for you if you worry for the right things and come to conclusions and solve the problems. Worrying can kill you if it's an irresolvable issue. I try to come up with conclusions and solutions, and that's why I write books that are so important, because I give you solutions in Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. And I'm going to give out these books today and every day now till the book comes out. And I think you'll enjoy learning more about what's going on in the world around you and try to convert some people to our way of thinking. If you've not gotten on the air, I have some doozy of callers out there who support and oppose the bombing by Russia today. You're not going to want to miss it on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We see some very sophisticated air defenses going into these airfields. We see some very sophisticated air-to-air aircraft going into these airfields. I have not seen ISIL flying any airplanes that require SA-15s or SA-22s. I have not seen ISIL flying any airplanes that require sophisticated air-to-air capabilities. These very sophisticated air defense capabilities are not about ISIL. They're about something else.
Well, that's the NATO commander saying that Russia moved in an awful lot of high-tech equipment and it's not to take out ISIS. What else is new? And so today, as you know by now, I've been talking about it for 2 hours. It's been all over the media. 2 hours straight, and I'm not going to stop. Russia bombed Syria. Now, Russia says they're out to take out ISIS. We're being told they're not bombing ISIS strongholds. They're bombing the so-called Free Syrian Army, which is probably true. And on top of that, they insulted us. I should say they insulted Obama, who deserves it. They slapped him around by saying, get your planes out of the air. Now, Obama hasn't said a word, by the way. Can you imagine a nation as leaderless as this? A day like this, which is hanging on the precipice of a war with Russia, Obama is nowhere to be seen. Instead, he sends out Lurch, the liar, the funeral director. John Kerry is about to give yet another lying speech. Another impotent lying speech is about to emanate from Lurch's mouth. And Obama's nowhere to be found. He's at a fundraiser somewhere on the road. Again, he's on the road raising money for the Democratic Party. That's all. Democrat Socialist Islamist Party. Wouldn't you think that a leader should come out and say something? Wouldn't you think that his handlers would say, look, Mr. President, you can't hide like this. You've got to say something. The American people want you to stand up to Putin. You've got to soothe their nerves. They're worried. So he says nothing. Obama says he leads the strongest military in the world. He means he misleads. He has purged the generals right in front of our eyes. Government Zero has spelled it out to the T in the chapter called Zero Military. And where do I stand on this? I've asked you, and I'm going to say it again, do you support or oppose today's airstrikes by Russia? I have told you the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I support Russia's airstrikes. Because I believe they will take out ISIS because ISIS threatens them. I don't think if people understand that all you're doing is parroting what you've seen on the media. The New York Times started the argument that because Russia is striking the Free Syrian Army, that they're lying about wanting to take down ISIS. I think you're wrong. I think that it's in Russia's national interest to take out ISIS because I've studied it more completely than you have. And what I've read, and what I believe is true, is that Chechen fighters are with ISIS, and Russia has sent in their Spetsnaz, their special forces, and they're supposed to specifically hunt down the Chechen fighters and kill them on the battlefield, because they don't want them coming back to Chechnya and causing any disturbances for Russia again. And I've also read, and I believe it's true, that China is involved, because China wants their special forces to hunt down and kill the Muslims known as Uyghurs and kill them on the battlefield in Syria. Now, although that is not happening apparently right now, I believe it will happen. And I think that Russia is bombing the Free Syrian Army positions right now in order to sweep away the Free Syrian Army presence in order to go after ISIS, because they're one and the same. I don't think you understand something. You actually think the Free Syrian Army is different than ISIS? Well, maybe they're different in linguistically, but they're not any different in their goals, and their goal is to knock out Assad. So why are you on the side? I don't understand many people. They're not thinking this through. Why would you want Assad to go? Who do you want to replace Assad in Syria? Let's take it from that point of view in this hour. Many of you are saying, Putin's bad. He wants to expand Russia's interests. He wants to reestablish the Soviet Union. He's the most evil on the planet. You're stuck in the Reaganite mentality. You're stuck in the mentality of the anti-Soviet era of the 1980s. The 1980s are over. Ronald Reagan is dead. It's not the same Soviet Union. And so why do you oppose Russia? Tell me what you fear. What is it you fear about Russia? Russia's a bigger threat to your survival and your national interest than ISIS is? ISIS, as far as I know, Russia hasn't been killing Christians and raping the young girls. I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen Russia burning down the churches in Iraq and Syria, have you? No, ISIS is burning down the churches. And not a word from the Jewish community. All the schlemiels in the organized Jewish community, not one word about this. There's a very large Syrian Jewish community that is right now being protected by Assad, who is also protecting the Christian community. And you're telling me you want Assad to go so the Jews and Christians can be slaughtered? I have to think this through for you? Yes, I have to think this through for you. That's why I have a national talk show that's so successful. That's why every one of my last books has been a New York Times bestseller. That's why Government Zero will be a blockbuster, because I do have to think for you. That's my job. And I think I do a fairly good job at it. And again, if you want to talk about these topics, the phone number, there's only one open line. There's no open lines at 855-407-282. Let's begin with Jim on WABC, who disagrees with everything I've just said. Jim, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. First of all, what I want to say is thank God for Vladimir Putin. He's the first person to throw a monkey wrench in Obama's plan and agenda. When you say that Obama is the worst president, maybe to us red-blooded, patriotic, compassionate Americans, but to Barry from Honolulu and all the fanaticals around him, the death wish liberals that are around him, he is the most successful president in the United States history. Every move he's made that we've looked at as a failure, to him has been a success. That's why when he addresses the American people, he has his chin in the air like Mussolini. Thank God that we're a compassionate society. Otherwise, when this is all said and done, he would wind up meeting the same fate as Mussolini. This is the perfect storm happening right in front of us. And Putin has finally thrown a monkey.
I want to ask people listening to you how they cannot see the vacuity of this man, that in the midst of the most astonishing act by another world power, he is invisible and says nothing. He continues to raise money. Doesn't that shock even the most supine liberal into awakening, to an awakening?
They will
never, ever, ever admit that they made a mistake in electing this fraud. Jim, stay on the line. You're getting a free copy of Government Zero. I have my first copy in my hand. It's a gorgeous book. Gorgeous. I love it. No borders, no language, no culture. I don't love what's in it, because it's pretty amazing what's in it. WABC, BJ, you don't like Putin. Tell us why.
I think that the larger question at hand is what will happen when Putin takes the Middle East, as he's taken to Ukraine, as he knows and is very fluent in the language of war. And this green president that we have is a silly green conservative who doesn't know how to speak in the language of war. He has swatted our planes, as you've said. He's playing three-dimensional chess, and Obama's playing checkers. And this reflects, if anything else, the importance of the Iranian deal. Because now you have Israel, who is at odds with the U.S. on what to do in this region. We could have had them on the same.
I disagree with you. I think that was a charade. The more I look back at the protestations by Netanyahu, the more I realize it was a PR stunt than anything else. Right now Israel is coordinating with the United States, with Jordan, with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar and the UAE in a joint command center north of Baghdad, in Jordan rather, on how to fight Assad. Did you know that? Israel's actually coordinating with the United States and those other nations as we speak.
Well, that shows the failure of our policy, though, Michael. We are
First of all, it shows the lies coming out of the mouths of this government and the lies coming out of the mouth of Israel, by the way. I'm sorry to tell you. It's disgusting to witness this, that while ISIS has been raping and murdering its way across the Middle East, burning churches, killing Christians, decimating historically important sites such as Palmyra, which I spoke about before they took it down and destroyed one of the world's greatest architectural sites, Israel did nothing, and I kept asking why. Have you listened to my show? You've listened long enough to hear me as the only one in the media who's asked, why has Israel done nothing against ISIS? Haven't you heard me say that for months now?
Oh, several times at least.
Okay, why am I the only one who said it? Because it didn't make sense to me. If Israel was the most powerful military in the Middle East, I asked myself, why were they not flying sorties against ISIS? Why didn't they decimate their victory parade of Toyota trucks? Why didn't we take out the Toyota trucks in the victory parade? The answer is because they don't want ISIS to go. ISIS was their factotum army in the Middle East and still is. Well, now finally Russia stepped in and they said, you're not taking down Assad. We don't give a damn what you say. We don't care what you do. Get your damn planes out of the way. We're here. We're here. We're taking over and go away. And what did Obama do? He's on a fundraising trip. He hasn't said one word. Instead, we heard from Lurch the Liar. Again, Lurch the Liar is going to give another speech in a few minutes. And they're weak speeches, by the way, BJ. They're embarrassing. Did you see our defense secretary speak today? This guy, Yeb Carter, what's his name? Yeb Carter? I don't know his name. Beverly Carter? Bev Carter? I don't know. I can't remember his name. It was the most limp-wristed, academic, bumbling speech I've ever heard in my life. And to top it off, he was wearing a pink tie. What is this with the pink ties? It's the tie of surrender. They're surrender monkeys coming out with pink ties. Okay, stay on the line. Government Zero goes out to you. This is the third hour. Phone number is 855-107-282. This is the hour where I say to my staff, come on, guys, one more hour. I say, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and they laugh. We talk to each other through Skype. And I say, you know, I'm built for work. I was trained to work because people say, how do you do this? How do you come on so strong in hour number three? Well, because I know how to work and I want to work and I'd rather do this than anything else on earth. This is the most important thing I could be doing at this time in my life. There's nothing else I want to be doing. Can you tell me anything that a man like me would be doing that would be more significant than this? Do you think I want to run for office? Do you want to think I want to be just another fundraising clown? No. I want to have an impact through my thoughts and ideas on the Savage Nation. That's all I've wanted to do for 21 years. And God has blessed me with this microphone, and I intend to continue putting it to good use. There's one open line at 855-407-282. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Am I imagining it? Everywhere I turn on TV, there's a pink tie. Kerry had a pink tie. Defense Secretary Carter had a pink tie. The stooges on Fox News have pink ties. It's a nation of surrender monkeys. What is going on with this pink tie business? Is there a holiday I don't know about? Is it pink tie day somewhere? What is with the pink ties? Here's some breaking news that I'm sure is of importance to you before we go back to the Syria-Russian thing. Whole Foods to stop using prison laborers to produce food? Whole Foods will no longer sell food made by prisoners. Customers complained that they were uncomfortable with the fact that products were being made with inmate labor. So Whole Foods, being a good company, said that all such products will be off its shelves by April 2016. You see, prison laborers produce such items as farm tilapia. That's sewer fish to begin with, by the way. Goat cheese and farmed trout. Well, I actually eat goat cheese, but I got to tell you, when you have antisocial people putting together goat cheese, I'm not sure that they're putting goat cheese in the package. That's all I can say to you. Tilapia, I wouldn't eat. Whenever I go in a restaurant, I ask what kind of fish. When they say fresh fish and greens and shiny, what is a tilapia? That's sewer fish. Farm trout, sewer fish. So I don't eat this stuff anyway. A spokesmouth said, we want to make sure we're in tune with our customers' wishes. Whole Foods work with a company called Colorado Correctional Industries to source local products and ingredients? Oh, so they're using slave labor now to make fish and goat cheese? It's like China. This whole thing is eerie and icky. Actually, the only people who suffer from this will be the prisoners who are probably making a good living at it, like 10 cents an hour. How else are you going to make a profit in America, given the high tax rates and government intervention? Why not use slave labor? They're using it here. I mean, they used it in Nazi Germany. Maybe they should expand slave labor here in America. Then you'll have a real profitable company. You know, cut labor costs to zero. That's a good way to turn a profit. I mean, if you want to build a bigger yacht, how else to do it? Okay, there are people who disagree. At least one woman is calling out of the pack. Allison on KKAT in Utah. Allison, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just finished Stop the Coming Civil War yesterday. You totally nailed it with Russia. You said Obama would do nothing, Russia would fill in, and look what's happened. The day after I read it, it's happening.
Yes, and I'm sending you Government Zero because I now make statements in Government Zero about what's coming next, in that I can see pretty far ahead. And in my chapter, Zero Military, I give you an example of the purge of the military and what Obama has in mind and where Russia fits into all of this. So stay on the line for a free copy of Government Zero, which should be out in a few weeks right now. Kern County, KERN. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much, Dr. Savage. You remarked earlier that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, as the old saying goes. And I'm afraid that while that may be true, in some cases, it's not true in all cases by any means. And it's very possible that grave enemies may have common goals and purposes in mind. And I'm afraid that's what we may be seeing in the case of Vladimir Putin.
All right, so let's take your worst fears. He's going to take out ISIS. Let's say he does that eventually. But you're saying his grand design goes beyond that. And then how does that threaten us?
That I can't prognosticate, Dr. Savage. I just have a deep...
All right. Well, by the way, here's what I think. ISIS is such a threat to the world, to civilization. They are so evil that they have to be killed at all costs. And if that means joining forces with the devil himself, I would join forces with the devil himself to see that ISIS is eliminated from the earth. The Americans are rather a straightforward people compared to the Middle East. It's so Byzantine, it's hard to follow. And many of us think, what the heck are we doing there to begin with? Why are we involved in a civil war in Syria? Why are we even caring what Russia does? You look at the composition of the Levant. I like the new phrase, ISIL. You say ISIS, ISIL. I keep changing it. It's known as the Levant. Arabs, Jews, Alawites, Kurds, Imamis, Turkomans, Ismailis, Nusairis, Druze, Circassians, Armenians, Copts, Assyrians, Turks, Aramaeans, and others. Very complex for us, we in America. We can't follow it. And we don't know what side to take. We have no idea what's right or wrong. So we're being told by the major media and by the followers of the Reagan School of Foreign Policy, which is at least 30 years out of date, that Russia is the world's greatest enemy. Now, it's funny that Russia was our ally as near as a few years ago until Barry from Honolulu came to power and mucked things up and turned Putin into the world's worst person. It was Barry who did this. After the Cold War was over and the Iron Curtain came down, thanks to Ronald Reagan, we did very well with Russia. And all of a sudden, Barry, misadvised as he is, no foreign policy knowledge whatsoever, all he knows how to do is antagonize race against race, class against class, and he's very good at that, by the way. Don't underestimate his demagoguery. All of a sudden, Russia is our greatest enemy, not ISIS. Now, the last I checked, Russia was not raging across any region of the world, burning churches, enslaving women, etc., and so on. I didn't see Russia doing that. I see ISIS doing that. So I say, let the Russians take out ISIS. Now, those of you who are of the simplistic notion that Russia is not going to take out ISIS, that they're really there to become Assad's air force, that they really want to just support Assad for their own you know, Machiavellian and national interests, I think you're mistaken. I think you will see Russia take out ISIS for one major reason. Because Russia's ally, Iran, also wants ISIS gone. Remember, Iran is primarily a Shiite nation, and ISIS is primarily the remnants of the Republican Guard, Sunni nation, Iraq, with foreign maniacs who are basically mass murderers and rapists, the lowest levels of all society, pick up the Quran. The next thing you know is they're out to butcher, rape, and slaughter. They pick up the lowest scum on the planet and attract them from around the world, U.S., France, Africa, the flotsam and jetsam, the garbage of the streets. They throw them a holy book and they give them a robe and they think suddenly that their life of being a junkie and a rapist is behind them. And they bring them to the Middle East and they give them the mumbo jumbo, and the next thing you know is they throw them a girl and they think that they're in heaven already. They're not waiting for the virgins in the next world. They're raping them in this world. They're the worst scourge the world has seen since Hitler. And it's not Russia. It's ISIS. And believe me, Iran and Russia have self-interest in destroying ISIS. Put aside Assad for a minute. I don't know why you have such a mania, many of you, of hating Assad. As bad as he is, he protects the Christians and Jews. You know that they'll be slaughtered or driven out of the country. If Assad goes, who is going to take his place? Which stooge will take his place? Who would it be? Who? Tell me who. Who's going to take over for Assad? He knows the country. He knows the players. He knows the territory. And he knows how to control those animals. And so, therefore, Russia finally said, enough is enough. He's about to fall. We can't let him fall. We have strategic and cultural interests in maintaining Assad. And they bring in the military right under our noses. Obama, while he was decimating the military here, Russia was building up the military there. While Obama, the great social engineer, was remaking the military here, Russia was training its military there. And look at what's happened. Out of nowhere, Russia starts bombing and then says to America, get your planes out of the skies. And so far, Obama's not been seen today. Hiding. This is one of the greatest mysteries, actually one of the greatest shames for America in my lifetime. This is almost equivalent to George Bush hiding after 9/11. When Bush and Cheney went into hiding. Remember that? Do you remember how embarrassing that was? When they took, he was last seen, Bush, sitting on a child's seat in an elementary school somewhere when the towers came down. And then they hustled off Bush and Cheney into some hidden location. And you know who spoke? Hillary Clinton. I remember it. Look, I have a great memory for these things. She had the guts to speak. They were missing. MIA. Now Obama's missing in action because he knows he doesn't know what to say. I saw his eyes, by the way. See, I look at eyes. After the meeting between Putin and Obama, remember the handshake? The famous handshake where Obama towered over Putin? Putin's not a tall man, by the way. Obama's eyes look like that of a frightened animal. If you look very carefully at, not of the still footage, but of the video footage, right after the handshake, Obama looked shaken. He looked terrified. No one knows what went on in that room. But now we see what went on in that room. He probably told Obama, we're going to do what we're going to do. We don't care what you do. Take a walk. And that's what happened. And here we are. Okay, 855-400-7282. You, the American people, if you could vote today, would you support or oppose today's airstrikes by Russia? Of course, you have no influence over the events of the world. You have no influence over your elections in America, let alone the events of the world. All you have is propaganda around the clock and corrupt politicians. WJR, Ken, you disagree with my assessment. That's why I give you the floor. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thanks for having me. I think Russia is only using the ISIS excuse in front of the UN because they know it would get worldwide acceptance. I am the failure of President Obama to take care of this, so they just use that as a front. They just want to back up Assad. It's actually an economic advantage for them because they need oil from Iran, and so with Iran's newfound wealth, they're going to, based on the treaty, they are going to consolidate Iran in China and set up a permanent presence in the Middle East through Syria.
But the United States has tried to cripple Russia with sanctions, and cripple its economy, and they've done a very good job of hurting Russia. Wouldn't you think it's in the interest of a nation to have a national leader who thinks about the nation and says, you know what, I need to save my people and my nation. So if it means siding with Assad, despite what Obama wants me to do, I'll side with Assad. In other words, from their point of view, doesn't it make sense?
Yeah, well, yeah, Putin has had to answer to the oligarchs, the oil companies, when Obama put the sanctions on him. Putin's had to answer, and that was a big, that was Obama's big spanking. He thought Putin was going to fall.
Well, I disagree with you. I think you have that backwards. There are no oligarchs who answer, don't answer. You have it backwards. The oligarchs answer to Putin. Nobody gets anything in Russia unless it goes through Putin. It's different than you may think, and it's not much different than here. It's not much different than here. The oligarchs are given their power by Putin, and anyone who's opposed them is wound up in a prison cell. So I disagree with you on that point.
And Putin has never forgotten that, and he has had Obama sized up for the longest time. And this has been a long strategized maneuver, and he waited for the perfect time.
All right. So do you think that who do you think is a graver threat to the United States of America, ISIS or Russia?
I believe it's ourselves, but if I had to choose between those two, I would say ISIS. With a competent president, I would say ISIS. With an incompetent president, I would say it's a tie.
So you do support the bombing, Russia's bombing then?
I support it. If I was Putin, I would do the same thing. However, I think it's in our interest. We have such a weak president that... I think there's no way this is going to turn out good for us.
All right. A copy of Government Zero goes out to you. I want to look at something in Zero Immigration in my book, Government Zero. And I ask, why is the administration granting asylum mostly to Muslims from Syria, Somalia, Afghanistan, and Iraq, when a full-fledged Holocaust is being perpetrated against Christians? Second, how do we know that ISIS agents posing as refugees are not among those the administration has admitted and put on a fast track to citizenship, just as the FBI has warned? One of the subheads is leaving Christians to the wolves. The next subhead is the sleepers awaken. The next subhead is importing crime. The next subhead is importing disease. The next subhead is, well, you'll have to read it on your own, importing socialism, amnesty for illegals. That is why you have a refugee crisis in Europe. It was caused by Hillary Clinton's failed policies, mainly the Arab Spring. And I want to go back for a moment to the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I thought it was an Arabic saying. It's not. It is actually much older. I just read this moments ago. It is from the 4th century BC in India, where the Indian Machiavelli wrote about the idea in the Sanskrit military book, the Arthashastra. I'll have to ask for that at the next time I go get a curry. But U.S. foreign policy has been guided by the enemy of my enemy for decades. Obama's not the first one to have used it, but is he really using it? Is Obama really using that strategy himself? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. How is he using that? He's tried to use ISIS, which is maybe his enemy, I'm not so sure, as his friend, because ISIS wants to take out Assad. So he's been using that strategy of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So ISIS is an enemy of his enemy, Assad. So he figured, let's support ISIS. Israel's used that strategy, pitting one side against the other. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So if it works for them, why shouldn't it work for us now and side with Russia against ISIS, because we really want ISIS out? Who is a graver threat to this country right now? Let's put it another way. Is it ISIS or Assad? Let's make it really simple for the average Joe and Jane listening to the show. Who poses a graver threat to this country right now? Is it ISIS or is it Assad? Well, it has to be a simple answer. It's ISIS. Look at what they've been doing. Look at what they've been doing. Now, many of you still don't agree with me. You will support Obama to your graves. You will think he's the most brilliant strategist in the history of the world. I have to disagree with you. Many of you oppose Putin because you're stuck in the Cold War mentality of Ronald Reagan. You're still living in the 1980s. To you, The Russians are the greatest threat. You haven't seen the evolution of Russia. You know nothing about Russia. You know nothing about Russian history. And you're stuck in the Reagan mentality of Russia must be forced to its knees. But the Soviet Union fell a long time ago. It's not the same Russia as that of the pre-war era. How could you still be stuck in that mentality? Okay, I know many of you are. And I know many of you disagree with me. And that's what makes for conversation in democracy, and especially on talk radio. WMAL, Sam, which side are you on? Go ahead, please.
I think Vladimir Putin, I support him 100%. He, the reason he's doing what he's doing is because he understands history and culture. He's the capital of the Slavic world. The Slavic world extends down into Syria. Russia has been, like you just said, Russia's been involved in that area culturally, historically, for centuries. So the Chinese, you know, down the Silk Road. Those two powers, I think, are being very wise in their, you know, interaction in the...
So do you agree with me that the United States really has no self-interest in the Syrian civil war? Why are we there? What are we sticking our noses in it for?
Yeah, because Obama's an idiotic globalist.
Okay, but there's also another reason, which is that Obama's been led by Israel in backing, in trying to get rid of Assad. That's what I think.
I agree with you on that, and that's because they don't understand.
And I have to repeat again, I have to read again, I support Israel, but Israel's wrong for doing this. They've made the world a much more dangerous place by putting their self-interest above that of the world itself. And that's the problem when you have a small nation that thinks it's bigger than it is and wants to put its interests ahead of all interests in the world. And I do support Israel, but not in this case of looking the other way while ISIS rapes and pillages and destroys its way across the Middle East. Stay on the line. I'll send you a free copy of my great new book, Government Zero. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is a fact that Lurch, the Secretary of State, is now speaking at the UN along with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, trying to make nice of a very bad situation for the United States, where the thin man is not seen anywhere because he's been trumped by Obama. That's a hard use of two words right there. But the thin man was trumped by Obama with the airstrikes. And there's another factor to this picture that you should look at before you jump to the naive conclusion that the Russians are only bombing the Free Syrian Army, they will not take out ISIS. The Russian lawmakers voted unanimously today to let Putin send Russian troops to Syria. Do you understand what that means? Do you know how big this is? Now you understand why Putin is bombing the Free Syrian Army? Because unlike Obama, he actually cares about his troops. And he wants the Free Syrian Army off the ground before he puts them on the ground to annihilate ISIS. Do you understand the strategy? You're following hook, line, and sinker what the naive people in the media are saying, the barber stars, the Stalinists at the New York Times. Oh, Putin's not really going to take out ISIS. He's just taking out the good guys in the Free Syrian Army. Well, first of all, there are no good guys. That's number one. Second of all, if his grand strategy is to put Russian troops on the ground, which is what it obviously is, first you get the guys off the ground who can harm your troops. And that's why he's bombing their command and control centers, their ammunition dumps. He cares about his military. He doesn't want to put them in harm's way to any greater extent than he's already going to do so. So he is playing a war game the proper way. But of course, if you just follow the news girls, you don't know what he's doing. Oh, he's bombing the Free Syrian Army. He's not bombing ISIS. You want him to do it the first day? So I will stake my bet, and I hope I'm right, that he will take out ISIS because Iran wants ISIS gone and their allies. And that's why Putin is taking out the Free Syrian Army today. All the boys and girls with tight dungarees and iPhones in their back pockets. But don't be taken in by their outfits, because behind them lurks ISIS. This is the Savage Nation. Read Government Zero and you'll find out what's going to happen next.